Our scripture on this Easter morn comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He's been raised from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, and they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In a world of Good Friday nightmares, it's time to dream some Easter dreams. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, something like this. After the completion of Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, someone remarked, "Isn't it too bad that Walt Disney didn't live to see this?" Mike Vance, the creator director of Disney Studios, replied, "He did see it. That's why it's here." Everything that we use, that we hold, that we eat or watch, wear, sit in, or listen to, in other words, everything that was created out of human ingenuity started as a dream. Before anything can become tangible, it must first become a reality in the mind of the dreamer. Only when the dream is real, for one, can it become possible, real, for all. Not until the dream is real for me, can it become real for you. Zippers, Christmas tree lights, quadruple bypass surgery, combustion engines, cotton candy, x-rays, air conditioning, flush toilets, matches, eyeglasses, espresso. All these things were once a dream in someone's mind. The dreams of others make our life tasty, pleasant, and sometimes even possible. So why is it that we live in a world furnished with dreams of others, yet there are so many nightmares stalking the land? Why did we first nightmare up nuclear weaponry instead of dreaming up world peace? Why did we nightmare up high-tech security systems and gated communities instead of dreaming up communities of trust? Why did we nightmare up fast food instead of dreaming how to feed every hungry child? Why did we nightmare up apartheid and slavery and Jim Crow instead of dreaming up societies of justice and equality for all? Because the Good Friday nightmare was transformed into an Easter dream, the way has been opened for ending all nightmares and incarnating all dreams. The resurrection means that Christians can expectantly dream of plenty in the midst of poverty. Dream of compassion in the midst of border wars. Dream of justice in the midst of inequity. Dream of holiness in the midst of hell. Dream of love in the midst of hate. New generations of Christians are despairing of dreams because they have not yet learned to distinguish between the dreaming dreams of happiness and dreaming dreams of joy. We've taken too literally what the Sunday school and summer camp songs taught us. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, stomp your feet, and do all other kinds of Christian calisthenics. We've put too much emphasis on looking happy and being happy instead of dreaming dreams. It's time for Christians to tolerate no further nonsense about happiness. The first century Christian world didn't say, "See how happy these Christians are." It said, "See how these Christians love one another." Christians are not necessarily happier than non-Christians, at least as the world defines happiness. But we are more joyful, and we risk more dreaming. Columnist Russell Baker once wrote in the New York Times that, quote, "The truth is, I don't feel good most of the time, and I don't want to. Moreover, I do not comprehend why anyone else should want to," end quote. It's normal not to feel good, not to go around happy all the time, at least if one's doing something greater for God. Easter dreaming isn't about happiness. Christians may or may not be more happy than non-Christians. Joy, on the other hand, joy is a condition of gladness, of delight, of exultation in spirit. Happiness is not a fundamental category for Christians. Joy is. Joy is the stuff of Easter dreams, what they're made of. God did not put us on this earth to be happy. God put us here to experience unspeakable joy, full of glory, the joy that comes from Easter dreams. It was renewed with Easter, with dreams of Easter, that the women raced back to tell the other disciples what they knew. Christ is risen. That Easter dream makes all other dreams possible. Have you ever thought of something would never, ever, 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 ever happen, and then it did? If you would have told me 4.5 years ago that I would become a vegetarian, I would have laughed in your face. That's not happening. But it did. How? Well, it took God hitting me on the head about 1,001 times. You feel better when you don't eat meat. I'd eat meat. You feel better when you don't eat meat. I'd eat meat. You feel better when you don't eat meat. I'd eat meat. And then it suddenly dawned on me. Oh, I feel better when I don't eat meat. Have you ever thought of something that would never, ever, ever happen, and then it did? One of the things I thought would never happen in my lifetime was for the Berlin Wall to come down. I confess that's an unfaithful thought, but that's what I thought at one time. That wall was not coming down, but it did. So why did it come down? Well, sociologists and history buffs are going to point to a lot of reasons, but let me be bold enough to suggest that all those factors began because of an Easter dream. One church in Leipzig, East Germany, a Protestant church, began dreaming the Easter dream. Its pastor, Christian Führer, believed that it was time for the Christian church that it stopped diluting the message of the gospel. So his church started praying some prayer meetings on Monday evening. Prayer meetings that began with this Easter dream: all things are possible. Within a short time, in his words, the people praying encountered, quote, in services and meeting, the miraculous experience of feeling the effect of the word. God's presence was alive with us. It was with us, all of us. Soon the number of prayers swelled to over 200,000 people, 90% of whom were non-Christians, but were drawn in by this Easter energy. It was these prayers who poured from the meeting on that fateful Monday evening to protest in the streets. Wir sind das Volk. We are the people. And created the movement that toppled the Berlin Wall. Why hadn't it happened before? Their pastor theorized in an interview with Christian Science Monitor entitled, We Lost Our Fear and Went Out on the Streets. It was because the church had been seduced by the bourgeois image of Jesus. That is, the ho-hum image of Jesus, who doesn't disturb, who is only passive, is only there to make people happy. Through prayer and Bible study, they found a Jesus that spoke directly to the people the truth, rather than a Jesus that diluted the truth. They found a resurrected Jesus had the power to enable them to dream again, dreams for their city and for their nation. So on this Easter morn, what's your Easter dream? Will you dedicate the years you have left to dreaming God-sized dreams for our world? A couple years ago, I had an Easter dream. And my Easter dream was equality for marriage. And when I look back at that dream, the Arizona legislature seemed as hard and permanent as the Berlin Wall did 28 years ago to me. They were just too powerful. But when I breathed the prayer, all things are possible with God, as I dreamed, as I envisioned a future when you and I, your children, our children, our grandchildren can celebrate and love and marry the person of their choice, it made a difference. And then suddenly, surprise, the Arizona legislature voted. And people came up to me, what are you going to do with your bracelet? Because I'm not a bracelet kind of guy wearing that. And I said, I'm going to keep wearing it because there are states in the United States where not everyone can marry the person of their choice. And my friend said, you're going to be wearing that bracelet for a long, long time. And sadly, there was part of me that agreed. And then suddenly there was a 5-4 vote in the Supreme Court. And they all came to me, what are you going to do with your bracelet now? And I always say, I'm going to keep wearing it because there are places in this world where people can't marry the person they want to. What's your Easter dream for this church, for this community, for this world? Will you dedicate the years you have left to dreaming God-sized dreams for our world? And finally, a story by Bishop Rudger Meiner, formerly Bishop of East Germany, I believe lends a powerful, unquenchable gust of spiritual life to us on this Easter morn. 2 years before their collapse, the Communist Party in East Germany called for a special meeting. For 57 minutes, a philosopher lectured on why communism was officially, completely atheistic and why there is no God. When the official was finished, most of the people stood with their arms crossed or awkwardly clapped. Then a Russian Orthodox priest was brought to the podium, told he had 3 minutes for his response. The old priest began by saying, I don't need 3 minutes. I only need 3 words. These are the 3 words he shared, which were shouted at the top of his lungs. Christ is risen! And the people said, Christ is risen indeed. And the priest again said, Christ is risen. And the people said, Christ is risen indeed. A third time he called out, Christ is risen. And the people said, Christ is risen indeed. And the old man then went and took his seat. As the people continued to shout, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. You see, my friends, because of the resurrection, we can lose our fear and go out into the streets and dare to dream the dreams of God. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen.